As we've going through these teachings of Jesus, we've seen that a lot of them have really had to do with showing us the path of being at peace with ourselves or at peace with God and right relationship with people. And it might be that this one sounds a little different. Many of us would not say that we've been persecuted for our faith. And so we might read this as if it's not really applying to us, or we might struggle in figuring out how it might apply to us. Yet it's my impression that there's a great value here. And so I want to invite you to think along with me as we try to get into what our Lord might have been wanting to pass on to us modern Christians who live in the 21st century of America. Now, some scholars think that these really might not be Jesus' words because they're so applicable to that time of persecution after Jesus' time that it might have been the movement of the early church adding strength to their encouragement of their brothers and sisters through emphasizing some words through Jesus' mouth. But to my mind, I think this fits right into what Jesus would have said, words that Jesus would have wanted to part to give to us. So I do not feel at all awkward by its application to the early church so strong or that sense taking away from the authenticity of these words for words from Jesus. So I invite you to open your spirit, to open your mind, and let these words find their way to your soul. Three really very simple points to just call out. First, the message of faith might put you at odds with others. Jesus mentions how your faith might get you opposed by your neighbors, by people in your congregation. We've lived through that. Even your family members might think you're a little squirrely. He goes on to say that, well, this opposition, well, it might lead to anger. Can you think of a Thanksgiving dinner? It might lead to anger. It might lead to accusations. It might lead to persecutions or suffering or death. These people who oppose you might not only get angry at you, they might vent their anger through violence, even violence in the extreme. So Jesus warns you that faith is not necessarily a cakewalk. It might be oppositional. It might be greatly distressing. And then, quickly, he says, yet God will sustain you through it. So hold fast to your faith. Hold fast to what is good and continue forward. Whatever befalls you, Jesus says, God will walk with you through it. Can you believe that? I claim that every day. I need that in my life. I encourage you to think on that for your own. God will walk with you through it. God will strengthen you. God will support you in your efforts to be godlike, not in your efforts to be something else. to be godlike. God will support you in your efforts to represent God to our time and place, to walk in the ways of the Lord, though they may be difficult. So it really is a very nice lesson, isn't it? It's a nice lesson to think about, and it certainly has been a very important lesson for people throughout the years. You all know about the persecutions of the early church. There was a book I read somewhere in the last decade called Silence, which was about two Portuguese Jesuit missionaries who went to Japan in the 1600s. And back in the 1600s, whoever was controlling Japan was not allowing Christianity to flourish at all. Then they were really banning Christianity. And a bunch of lay people were being executed. We were being executed for not recanting their faith. Kind of like back in the Roman days. Do you recant of your faith, Tom Sutphen, right? And Tom Sutphen in the 1600s go, no! Off with his head. And these two missionaries are going to that place and they're wondering, they're disturbed deep in their souls, they're disturbed. Do they have such a faith? Do they have such a faith as these lay people who are giving up their life to bear witness to the truth of Christ? It's a story that bridges those modern persecutions or those past persecutions to kind of the modern age. And if we are aware, we know that there are other places around the globe these days in which Christians are being persecuted, or people of other faith as well, but we're talking about Christianity here. For their faith, even these enlightened days on planet Earth. If you went with me to the Holy Land, or even if you just know about the Holy Land, you know there's this poignant walk at Yad Vashem that is set aside for honoring the righteous of the nation. This is at the Holocaust Museum outside of Jerusalem. This walk is to honor the righteous of the nation, to honor those who acted sacrificially during the years of the Holocaust to protect Jews. Now, some survived their ordeal, like Schindler, of Schindler's List. Some survived their ordeal. Others survived, but suffered great deprecations to themselves through prison, surviving concentration camps, having been caught for caring for Jews. Like Anne Frank's people, the people that helped Anne Frank. And then there are others who were just summarily killed for helping protect Jewish folk or died in concentration camps as a consequence. Among these sacrificial souls are folk who just did that because it was the right thing to do. They knew the difference between right and wrong, and they knew that this was wrong. And they stepped forward, and they shielded their neighbor. Some of the folk that did this because their knowledge of what was right or wrong was based on their Christian faith. They did this because of their faith. They stepped forward because of their faith. What is so difficult, painful, terribly, if I can use the word, fascinating, is that these righteous souls of faith, who acted sacrificially to protect their neighboring Jews. They were opposed by others of their faith in their fatherland, who considered themselves good Christians in their vicious anti-Semitic persecutions. And it's that particular sad reality that brings the scripture to life, perhaps, for us. In terms of our lives, whether large or small persecutions, we'll sort that out in our own hearts. For indeed, we live within a society that considers itself basically Christian, a Christian nation. And we hear it, oh, so much. How do we take this scripture to our hearts, into our lives? Because in our lives, it's really unlikely that we would actually suffer persecution simply by being Christian. We're not really worrying about losing our heads or being whipped or being thrown in jail because we're believing Jesus is the Christ. And though some conservative evangelicals might think we're damned, I've been told I am, for our wrong beliefs, our wrong doctrines on some things, and some Christian nationalists might find us troublesome in our understanding of what good citizenship is. But at this point, it's unlikely that we would be persecuted for those beliefs, our understanding of Christianity, our living out what we think Jesus asks of us. And I will say that during my prayers, I thank God time and time and time again that we are not put on that line, that we have had the fortune of not having such a terrible, difficult witness, that we can worship freely, that we can proclaim our faith safely. We are fortunate in that. Yet I want to say to all of you that I either have a fantasy about your lives or I have a sense of knowledge that there are times when you seek to express your faith and act in a way that you deeply believe is faithful to Jesus' teachings, to Jesus' way of grace and love, to Jesus' mission, for which you experience reprobation from somebody. You experience a sense of censure or perhaps even some verbal condemnation. And I want you to know that without a doubt, I am convinced that Jesus is speaking to you with this passage, these words that he's remembered as uttering. And Jesus wants you, in your circumstance, however it is that you come up against it, Jesus wants you to steady your voice. He wants to encourage your witness. And he wants to empower your good Samaritan actions of compassion and justice. regardless of the raised eyes or eyebrows or snarky statements or anger, perhaps, of those around you. So I would say to you, speak up, act out. You are Jesus's hands, you are Jesus's heart in our time and place. Jesus is counting on you. God will stand by your side. Perhaps your heart has been broken open and your spirit has been awakened by the situation of refugees abroad, or by the situation of families at borders here at home, or by children in war-torn areas, or just economically depressed areas. Perhaps your heart has been broken open and your soul has been awakened by the glance of a homeless person at the corner, around the corner. Somebody lost in substance that you can't even see in their eyes where they are. Those who are trapped in cycles of family violence, here or elsewhere. Perhaps, I don't know, your heart's been broken open and your spirit has been awakened by those who seem marginalized by race or ethnicity or gender or sexuality. Jesus says, don't be silent. The Spirit will give you words to speak. Speak up. Act out. Jesus is there walking with you through this, knows what you are going through. You're his hands, you're his heart. In this time and place, he's counting on you to care. So don't let careless or the thoughtless or the hard-hearted or the tight-fisted discourage you or dissuade you. You are indeed kingdom people. You're a royal priesthood. You are heirs of the promise. You are brothers and sisters of the Holy One. Scripture says, don't be ashamed of Jesus. Speak up. Act out for what is right, for what is just, for what is loving. You are Jesus's hands and heart in our time and place. God will stand by your side, will walk with you through it all. Jesus says, as remember to say at the end of the Beatitudes, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you or persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. Claim your blessing. Be blessed. draw close to the Spirit and be strengthened and encouraged. Walk in the way of the Lord. It's not just a responsibility of our faith. It is a privilege and an honor of our faith.